All right. So good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we're very excited to continue our monthly program called Dimensions in Diversity, geared towards the LGBTQ plus community and youth in our valley. Every month, we will bring in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good and is sponsored by Aspen Out. Today, we're very excited to be joined by author Kathy Haliger, who is a Roaring Fork Valley resident and recently wrote a book titled Love Is. Thanks for joining us today, Kathy.
Thanks for having me.
So please tell us about your book and who would be the audience that would get the most out of it.
Well, the story about my book is actually kind of long, but I'll try to make it as short as I can. I wrote the book because both of my sons are gay. Like any parent, you don't know everything that your child is going to be or who they're going to turn out to be. Well, I wrote the book for very young children. I am a Montessori teacher, and in a Montessori classroom, they believe in mixing ages, so I would have 3.5 or 2.5 to 6-year-old kids in my classroom. And I wrote it for that age because my son, Ben, my oldest, told me when he did come out that he knew when he was 5. So when he went to kindergarten, that was his first experience at school. He hadn't gone to preschool because I was a preschool teacher. I kept my kids at home. And so his first experience with going to school was kindergarten. And he had a friend that he just adored. And he used to talk about him all the time. I just love Quinn, Mom. Me and Quinn did this. Me and Quinn did that. But he knew that he liked Quinn in a different way than, you know, other people did. And he didn't ever say that or tell you that. And I never thought to ask because he was just his friend. So because Ben knew at such a young age, I realized that he spent a lot of time suffering. And then Webb went through the same process. You know, everything that we do as parents, it sends a message to our kids. Who we are, how we move, how we speak, everything that comes out of our mouth sends our, you know, everything that we do and everything that we say sends a message to our children. And, you know, I think it's really important to be really careful about who we are when we have our own children and how we are in the world with them and what kind of messages that we're giving them. I think we get messages from people. We get messages from the TV. We get messages from the radio. We get messages from everywhere. And as you're growing up, you get lots of messages in your life. And Ben was growing up in a heterosexual family and just had no idea there was such thing as anything else. So because he had this attraction when he was young, he thought that wasn't okay. Everybody else was chasing the girls and he wanted to chase the boy and he didn't think it was okay. There was no way I could have known that, but I still felt horrible after I figured it out. 6-7 years of just suffering, you know, thinking that he was wrong and learning to not like himself. And I think self-esteem is one of the most important things we can foster in our children. And I thought that that's what I was doing. And when I realized that I wasn't, I still cry right now because that isn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure that my kids loved who they were and, accepted themselves and stuff. And that wasn't happening for either of my boys. And so I raised them and they came out and we had, you know, lots of things happen. And once they came out, they were happier, but the damage was already done. And I think both of them still carry that. I can't go back. And I think that they both feel good about themselves now. I hope that they do. But that was where I wrote Love Is, because it pictures families, all different kinds of families. And it also, in the end of the book, pictures the idea that sometimes we are born a boy, but we feel like a girl. And sometimes we're born a girl and we feel like a boy. And that all of those things are okay. And all of those ways of being in the world are perfect and fine and exactly the way they're supposed to be. So I wrote the book because I felt so bad for missing that part of my kid's life. And I being a Montessori teacher, Maria Montessori talked about peace education a lot, educating children for peace. And I had this curriculum that I used to use in classroom that I kind of developed on my own about talking about finding your heart light. So I used to, when I, at the very beginning of the school year with the kids, I would bring this special little candle in and I would light it, and you could see through this little heart in the glass that it would shine through this little heart light. And I talked to them about having that inside their body. And when they're feeling really good and happy, their heart light shines. And when they're not feeling good and happy, their heart light doesn't shine. And all the ways that we can keep our heart light shining, like we can eat really good food and we can get lots of exercise and we can hang around with people that make us happy. And we can do all those things to keep our heart light bright. And I, of course, then did the same thing with my own kids when they were born. And I didn't realize that my little boys didn't have a very happy heart light because they weren't living the life they were supposed to live. They weren't being who they were supposed to be. They were hiding it. And so this was my solution. And I wish I would have had a book like Love Is. I just thought that it would be really important to have a book out there that parents could read to their kids that just pictures all the ways to love each other.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. So Kathy, the title of the book really intrigues me, Love Is. It's so simplistic, but you know, we hear terms all the time as love is love, love conquers hate. How did you land on Love Is?
That's a good question. The book was never a book. It was PowerPoint that I was going to use as a ending piece in a presentation that I was trying to put together. So as a Montessori teacher, I have spoken at a couple conferences on the idea of peace education, and I wanted to put that together again. I hadn't done it in a long time, and so I was gathering all the information I needed to talk about that curriculum that I was talking about that I used in my classroom, the Heartlight curriculum, with pictures similar to the ones in the book. And I didn't really know what to call it, and because it wasn't called anything, it wasn't a book. So I guess I just landed on Love Is because it just seemed logical. You know, I wanted to use the phrase love is love, and I know that's been kind of overused, but I kind of inadvertently made it sound as though I was quoting a Bible verse. I don't know where it's from, the words from in the Bible, but I was so not my intention. And it's funny that now that it's up on the internet, I've had all these people say, oh yeah. And then they quote that thing that's in the Bible. And I'm like, oh boy, you got to keep reading, because that's not what I was talking about. So I don't know. I guess I just landed on it because I wanted it to stay in that place where love would be love. Love is love, you know? And also because I went through the public school system, and in my day in the public school system wasn't very good. I didn't learn how to read until I was in third grade, and I just got so many terrible messages. And to me, school and everything that a child experiences is supposed to be love. Your teachers are supposed to care about you. They're supposed to love you. They're supposed to say words that make you feel good about yourself. And that doesn't always happen. And I'm a teacher. I know I haven't always been perfect. And I know I haven't always said things that are loving. But we're supposed to. That's what we are supposed to. Our goal should be is to, you know, always make the children that we're with feel like they're loved, and that love is kind and love is gentle, and, you know, love is mean. And I think that a lot of children in the world don't know that. I think that a lot of children in the world don't have that. All children of every gender and every race feel loved.
Yeah, and that's why I really want to focus on that, because I love the simplicity of the name. You know, sometimes book names could be very, you know, very long. Sometimes there could be, you know, a hidden message within it. But yours is just so simplistic. Love Is, and that could look a million different ways, depending on your family makeup, your dynamics, your, you know, to your point, if you have two mommies, two daddies, a mom and a dad, a single mom, a single dad, it could look and be in so many different forms. And so that's, I'm glad you expanded upon that, because I love just how simple that title is. So thank you for expanding upon that.
Yeah, thank you.
So we know some of your background. We know that you were a school teacher at Montessori. We know you have two sons that identify as gay. But what else should our listeners know about you and your background?
So I actually have three kids. My daughter, Kaylee, who is a twin with Webb, and Webb is my youngest gay son. And then my oldest gay son is Ben. And, raising my kids, I, homeschooled them. And I homeschooled them because Webb, was born with one lung, and, he got sick really, really easy. And when Ben went off to kindergarten, Webb kept getting sick, and he ended up in the hospital three times with pneumonia. And pneumonia is scary with two lungs, but with one lung, it's really scary. So I had a friend who suggested that I homeschool for a while until he got bigger and we could, you know, fight germs better. So, which was challenging, but good. He's really smart and really ahead of the game. So he had a pretty positive experience, but, so that's kind of an odd thing, that because most people don't homeschool, and they don't homeschool for the reasons I homeschooled. And I think it brought us together as a family really close. We are a very close family. We golfed with my daughter yesterday. I went to Zumba with my son this morning. We're together all the time. And so it really bonded us as a family. And it's something I would never regret or do differently. I don't know. I've been married for almost 30 years. I'm a Montessori teacher. I am in the public schools now, though. I do work in the public schools now as a toddler teacher 3 days a week. And I'm hoping to still do those Montessori presentations and go back to teaching peace education. And that's pretty much it.
That's great. That just helps, you know, helps me to understand where you're coming from writing this book, because it's more than just being a mom to two gay sons. You obviously are interacting with kids on a consistent basis. And you obviously see the challenges that they're facing, not just from a sexuality or a gender identity standpoint, but just from all standpoints. And it sounds like you really understand how family dynamics can be very diverse, very challenging in their own way. And there is no right way to parent nowadays. So especially given the current circumstances with COVID-19, and you know, we're all challenged in a different way from that perspective. So thank you.
Yeah. Crazy times. And you know, I never set out to be this, you know, trans or gay or lesbian LGBTQ fighter for rights. You know, I never started out to be that. It's not that I don't want to be that, but that wasn't what my goal was. My goal was just to somehow make up for the fact that I missed what happened with my sons and that I could have prevented them from being hurt. And I think that now because of writing the book, I know so much more. Like, I've gone to so many meetings. You've seen me. I stumble through these meetings, like how we address somebody. You know, I didn't know any of that stuff. I didn't know. Then there was that one meeting that we went to with the Colorado One people, and they talked all about those transgender and how I had no idea. So now I'm like this, oh my gosh, lead the charge. You know, I want so bad to help. And I wish so bad that my book could be out there more and helping. And one of the things that really, really touched me was that I made this book for little tiny kids. And I took it to this middle school group for that Gay for Good, or for the Pride Parade that from the middle school. And those kids loved that book. They were so sweet about it. And they said the nicest things. This one little girl who was there as an ally said, my sister would have had this book, it would have been so much easier for her to come out. And I just almost cried. That's exactly why I wrote it, you know, because it's a good way for parents to also talk to their children about the idea of it. You know, not just that the child has an easier way to come out, but the parent, if they have a suspicion that their child might be gay, that they bring it up, because you can't just walk up to your kid and say, "Are you gay?" You know, what if they're not? Then you've done damage the other way, you know? So I just wrote it, and I just was so happy that those middle school kids liked it so much. And I would really, one of my goals is to try and get into all the GSA groups wherever they'll let me in and share my story and share my book with them, because I think it was very profound for them to have an older person like me. You know, I mean, I think they probably see me as more of a grandma than they do a mother figure, and that I would support them and I love them and I want them to be happy and I want them to live a wonderful, full life, you know? And I hope at some point in time, if school ever reopens, I can get into those GSA groups and share my story and share the book with them, because it was really a great, great experience. So I hope to do that again.
Well, and it's obvious you're more than just an educator. You're willing to be educated.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and you're very transparent about that. And I think that's a lot of times half the battle that, you know, a lot of our members of our society is they don't know how to be educated. And they're willing to. They have all the will. They just don't have the skill behind it. So thank you for opening up and sharing that particular part of your journey. Kind of pivoting a little bit here, what challenges do you feel LGBTQ plus Coloradans, you know, in Garfield County and in the Roaring Fork Valley, you know, are experiencing today, especially our youth continue to face? You know, you obviously had two young gay sons. I know you do a lot of volunteer work with Gay for Good. But just from your own perspective, what do you feel are some of the other challenges the community is facing today?
Well, I still think, even though there's so much more, that the LGBT community is so much more visible than it's ever been before. Certainly when Ben went to high school, it was not, and he, once he came out, wanted to just tell the whole world, you know, went to high school with his pink Abercrombie shirt and his white jeans and just shouted from the rooftop, I'm gay, you know, and people were like running from him. It was terrible. And so what year would that have been? That would have been, 2010. Horrible experience. And a couple of years later, Webb went and he ended up being Husky of the Month and everybody loved him and he didn't have a single bad experience. So just in a 2-year period of time, it completely transformed in that school. And it was in Douglas County, which is a relatively conservative area of Colorado. And I was so pleased that it had changed so much. And we did try to start a GSA group when Ben was there, but boy, I was not equipped to deal with these kids, because they came in with all kinds of problems that I did not know how to fix or deal with or even say anything to them. But they do have a really strong GSA group now, and I feel pretty good that Ben and I, you know, did our best to start that. So I think, though, it's still really scary. I still think that even though things have improved greatly, it's still super scary to come out to your parent. You think that they will accept it, it's still a really hard thing to tell a parent. And we still know, I just saw on Upworthy, try to get all these positive news feeds on my Instagram, because everything's so sad these days. It's like, I'll put on anything that I don't have to listen to COVID-19 news. It's so sad. They were talking about the homeless population of young children who've been kicked out of their homes because they're gay or because they're trans. And I was like, it blows my mind that still in 2020 that's happening. And want to fight for it as much as we can to just let people be aware that it's not okay to do that to your child.
Yeah, it's definitely disheartening and it's definitely disproportionate. You know, there's definitely more kids identify as LGBT that are out on the streets than not. And it is, you know, definitely disheartening, and it is nationwide. And for those listeners that are listening and aren't familiar with the acronym GSA, that's Gender Sexuality Alliance. And a lot of our middle schools and high schools have those clubs or a meetup group where they talk about LGBTQ issues and allies and how to be an ally to the LGBTQ community. So I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew what that meant. I know you and I know what the acronym means, but I just want to throw it out for the bigger audience there.
Right. I think the other thing that's challenging our Valley and probably challenging all over the United States is that we have a culture, a large population of a culture that isn't very accepting. You know, we have a large Hispanic culture in our Valley. And I think that that's a really tough area that we would be, we've talked about it at Gay for Good a lot of times, that we would love to try and tackle that and help those kids that may have, you know, could be possibly living with three generations of family. You know, that was one of the things they were talking about in COVID-19, that a lot of these Hispanic kids don't just live with their parents, they live with their grandma and possibly their great grandparents. I can't imagine my son having to not only tell me that he was gay, but to tell his grandma and grandpa at the same time and his great grandma and grandpa. I can't even imagine what that would be like or how that would even transpire. And I know that it's a challenging thing, and I don't really know what to do about that, but I certainly would like to have, you know, brainstorm some ideas about how we can address that part of our community and make sure that they're hearing from us and that they're hearing from Gay for Good and that they're hearing from me and anybody else who would support them.
And that's why it's so important to have allies out there. Anybody that, you know, doesn't necessarily identify as LGBTQ+, maybe identifies as being, you know, heterosexual, having those people in your lives that are willing to help build you up are equally as important as having, you know, close friends or family who identify as LGBTQ+. So there's definitely not a one size fits all by any means on how to enhance one's self-esteem and how to build community. Right. Thanks for bringing that up. I know we guys have a few moments left. Would you write another book?
Well, I actually did. I wrote another book called Everyone Has a Heartlight, which was the original book that I was going to write. So I do have another book out, and the same company, Light of the Moon, helped me publish it. So it is self-published, and it's on Amazon. So you can get it as well. And it's got the same format. It has the same little heartlight on it that Love Is does. And it's just all about that whole concept of taking care of yourself and keeping your heartlight bright.
I'm excited about that one because Love Is, I bought for my nephew, and my cousin also got a copy of it, and they love it. So now I have another book I can look forward to from you. So how can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Well, they both are available on Amazon, but they can also get them from me. So I can leave an email address or a phone number or whatever. People can get them from me. I do have a website, but I'm so bad with technology. I have not figured out how to really work it.
And Amazon is always everyone's go-to anyway. So.
Yeah, it is. They're both on Amazon. They're just kind of expensive on Amazon. You can only charge for however many printed pages there are. They only let you, you know, charge. Most children's books are like $9.95, but for some reason, the Love Is has to be $12.95, and this new one is $15.95, and I think that's kind of expensive for a children's book. And for me, I can get an author's copy for less than that and still make more money than Amazon pays me. So if people get them from me, it's always a little bit better. So,
all right. So Kathy, obviously you're a huge ally of the LGBTQ+ community. What resources did you leverage to become an ally? How did you get your education to feel so confident to speak as an ally?
I'm not so sure I feel so confident about speaking about being an ally. I feel confident about speaking about my book for sure. And I know that that is a way to be an ally. But truly, being around all of you at Gay for Good has taught me so much about being an ally and understanding how to talk and what terms to use and how to be respectful ally. So mostly you guys, Gay for Good, and the meetings I've gone to with you guys, and I have researched a lot of One Colorado articles. I've been reading One Colorado. I'm they send me emails every day, so I get lots of information from them. So I have used them as a resource as well. But I'm just really, truly just learning. You know, like I said, I never set out to be this hero of LGBTQ. I want to be, but I don't really feel like I'm educated enough to be there yet. And I'm learning just like everybody else. So, like I said, I can talk about my book with full confidence, but the rest I'm still learning as well. And I hope I've never offended anybody or said anything wrong or, but between Gay for Good and One Colorado, I've learned a lot.
What do you want our listeners to take away from our conversation today? What's the one nugget that you really hope sticks with them? Besides the fact them, you know, buying your book.
I think the one, let's be conscious of your children and be open-minded and seek all kinds of ways to love your children and to give them what they need. I think that that's what the book is all about. And I think that I wish so bad I wouldn't have missed that piece of my boys' lives and I would have been more conscious about what was happening. Certainly there were signs as they were growing up. Webb used to tap around in Barbie shoes all the time. I was a Montessori teacher. I didn't care. I thought it was adorable, but I never said, huh, I wonder if he's gay. You know, I never. And so I just think isn't necessarily a sign. You know, lots of little boys love to dress up in girl clothes and boy girls and vice versa. It doesn't mean anything really when they're little. When they're little, they're just who they are, you know, and you just love them for who they are. But I would like for parents to be open-minded to the idea that it's possible that their child at a very young age could be questioning their sexuality. And I think I would like them to realize and understand that it can happen at a very early age and for them to be conscious of that and to present something to them that allows them to be okay with that is important.
And that love is crucial.
Unconditional love.
Absolutely. All right. You've been listening to Dimensions in Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. We've been talking with author Kathy Haliger, who's recently wrote a book titled Love Is. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. And if you'd like more information about Aspen Out, please visit aspenout.org. Thank you for listening to Dimensions in Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.
You can order Kathy's book directly from her at Kathy Heiliger, and that's spelled CathyHeyLiger@gmail.com.